Jess in with you this morning. The countdown is on to the Upper Hunter by-election. We are now, I'm going to say, 14 days, 16 days away, not that I'm counting at all. Joining me in the studio this morning, I'm joined by George Souris, who held the seat of the Upper Hunter for 27 years with the New South Wales Nationals Party. George, thank you for coming in this morning.
Oh, it's a very great pleasure. Thank you, Jess. Thank you for having me. And it's quite strange to be back out there. but anyway, I'm delighted to be on your show.
And this is a by-election, an election. Have you seen one like this before in your time? I mean, with 14-odd candidates for one?
Well, I never had that in any of the elections I had. In fact, I think I had one election, just two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just the Labor candidate and me. So this is certainly one where a lot of candidates, and it's optional preferential, which means that with that many candidates, the vote will be frayed. By that I mean every candidate will get a percentage of the vote. It will come down to preferences. I can't imagine any candidate getting over 50% on the first count, so
yeah.
it'll go to preferences. Electors who vote for an independent or a minor party candidate, it would be good if they expressed their opinion as to who else or who next they would want to see elected if it's not for the one they've just voted for. In other words, preferential. And then their preferences will go out. If they don't offer a preference, then the vote has no further counting to be done to it.
Yeah.
But if you do have preferences, then it will. And you don't have to fill out the ballot paper all the way. You can perhaps vote for six or five or whatever. In the end, it will count. If the two candidates that are fighting it out, the candidates coming one and two, if you have one of those in your preferences, then your vote will be distributed. Otherwise it won't be, because you've already exhausted by having a second or third vote for somebody who hasn't made it to the last two.
Yeah, exactly.
Hope I'm clear.
Yes, I think so. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the margin looks like after this election. When you left the seat, it was at 23.7%. It went down quite considerably with the member after you, Michael Johnson. What do you think is going to happen this time? It's probably going to be very, very slim.
Oh, I think it'll be a tight election. And if for no other reason than so many candidates, that will add to making it a tighter election. But you keep on going in the counting. You keep on going till you end up with two candidates, and then one of them will get over 50% through preferences. I'm here to support David Lazell. I mean, that's why I'm out and about. I think he is a very fine calibre, a person, high integrity, and it's just what we're looking for. I sincerely hope that people won't consider the problems of the past, the sins of the past, and blame them on the next candidate. Not David Lazell's fault, or not the National Party's fault either. In fact, the National Party dealt with the situation very, very promptly and very correctly, in my view. I think people should look at what the future holds and who they want to represent them in the future. And as I say, I'm out there for David Lazell. I've put his poster up on my own fence at home, and I didn't never put one up for myself even. But I've known him a while. He's been involved in the party. He's been the president, chairman of the Upper Hunter Electorate Council for a number of years. He hasn't just dropped in. He hasn't parachuted in. He's worked his way up the hard way. He had to fight through a pre-selection. What I see, I like. He's a really decent person. And leaving all the policies aside, I think his decency and the type of calibre he is something I'd like to see going into Parliament to represent me.
Yeah. It's interesting speaking to people about the by-election. I feel like a lot of people haven't quite decided which way they're going to vote. I'll put my hand up and say the longer the by-election goes on, I'm not sure which way I'm going to be voting. Do you think after 90 years of Nationals that the Upper Hunter is going to vote for a change? You know, obviously your politics aside, if you can.
Well, even if that is an enticing thought, you've got to work out who is the best person to represent you. And then it's an issue of the mainstream or not. The mainstream comprises the government of the day and the opposition of the day. That means in this case, and in this by-elections case, it means the National Party in coalition with the Liberal Party is the government of the day under Gladys Berejiklian and John Barilaro, or the Labor Party, which is the opposition, under Jodie Mackay. In the end, that's the main game. Yes, it's possible that if an independent is elected, that the government will go into minority, but the government will still be the government tomorrow morning, because it would still hold more seats than the opposition.
Yes.
So you only have a change of government if that ratio alters, where the opposition gains more seats, irrespective of the balance, but gains more seats than the other main party. So that's it's just not going to be that type of issue, and you know, it's not going to generate what it did. And there's only ever been one in New South Wales. I was in the government at the time, and I can assure you the experience wasn't fun. In the Fay government, it was a hung parliament then, and the Fay government went from 1993 to 1992 to 1995, and then there was a change of government after that, which then started the Labor era under Bob Carr for 16 years straight. Yes, I was in Parliament for 16 years in opposition, but then the government was regained under the Barry O'Farrell landslide, and that was in 2011. And of course, Gladys Berejiklian is at the head. And
catching up with George Souris this morning, who was the Upper Hunter MP for the Nationals for 27 years. There are, before I let you go this morning, a couple of, well, there's plenty of issues leading up to the by-election, but a couple in particular where the Nationals government, your name has been mentioned from when you were in government. Singleton Police Station is one. When you were in government, from some little bit of research that I've done, you did commit some funding to fix up the police station. It is well overdue. Something needs to happen there.
Look, some money was spent, but it does need it does need another building. The issue is, of course, it's a residential house, very much the same as Musselbrook's, and that's got to be preserved because it's just a beautiful house. But as was the case in Musselbrook, a building immediately behind that can then serve the needs properly. Luckily, the Singleton Police Station is co-located with the courthouse, but there's plenty of space in between to do exactly that. Look, it's the same way as it is in Musselbrook. The courthouse adjoins the land that the police station is on. And in terms of population, in terms of every way you want to look at it, Singleton is most certainly deserving of a 24-hour police station, as is Musselbrook. And I believe that there's no issue about declassifying Musselbrook in any way, shape or form. So we need an additional expenditure to build that. But it's not only the amount of money for the building. Of course, you need to staff it. You need to have an adequate policing of that station for it to be a proper and effective station.
Mm. Staffing is certainly an issue in the healthcare in our region. We've seen some GPs resign from Singleton. I know, having spoken to doctors in Musselbrook, that they simply don't think there are enough GPs, and they don't seem to be able to encourage GPs to the area. Whether there's an issue, I don't know, at a federal level or at a state issue, I mean, how do we encourage more GPs to come here? Do you see that as an issue in the Hunter region? Obviously, yes. It's something that would have changed over the years.
Oh, yes, I certainly do. You know, we need not only the GPs, but we need some general surgeons and some specialists. Initially, they will be visiting specialists. They might come for 1 or 2 days, but we really want them to do their work with those patients locally, rather than the patient having to go to somewhere, Maitland or Newcastle or Sydney or Tamworth or wherever. That is most certainly the preferred option. Yes, it is. It is mixed with federal and state. The whole Medicare thing is federally, but I think the issue focuses even more on the smaller communities in the Hunter Valley, in the Upper Hunter, than perhaps the bigger communities. I don't know the numbers exactly in Musselbrook, but I do know in Singleton there were 13 GPs sharing the on-call roster for the town, and with those resignations, one of which was 4 weeks ago, by the way, it's now down to 9 of the GPs having to share the on-call roster, and I don't think that's a good outcome.
No, definitely not.
And attracting GPs is one thing. You can't force anyone to go there. But if it's then other issues, other staffing, nursing staffing and so on, they are within the ambit of state governments, and that just needs to be addressed. If that's an issue, then it needs to be addressed.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting few weeks, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you again, George. So thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Oh, great pleasure, Jess. And cheerio to all your listeners, many of whom I know and had the great pleasure of representing a little while ago.